powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
All right, Pete Carroll set to speak with reporters at 12:15. We want you guys to listen live and to listen to as much of it as possible. So switching things up a little bit in this hour, we're going to start by taking a quick look around the NFL. Let's start with the Falcons. Right now, they're on the outside looking in of the playoffs. But the NFC South is weird. So the Falcons, not mathematically eliminated, but they are running into some issues. Tight end Kyle Pitts underwent season-ending knee surgery yesterday. Head coach has confirmed. So they lose one weapon. Here's what's weird. I thought Kyle Pitts would have a phenomenal season. They haven't really used him effectively much at all this year. So feel bad for Kyle Pitts. Want the best for him. Hope he can turn this around next year. That being said, it's not a huge loss for the Falcons when they never figured out how to tap in.
Yeah, they've been using Alameda Zacchaeus. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, young fella. 30 receptions, 465, two touchdowns. Drake London is a guy who I thought was going to perform. He's been doing all right, 41 for 438 and four touchdowns. Kyle Pitts, man, he's a tight end, but he's not a tight end. If you look at his body, the way that he's made up, you look at him, you're saying, okay, he's a receiver. So they're trying to figure out what to do with him. He is big, 6'6", 246. Unfortunate, but I still think this guy can come back and be effective.
All right, this week's Thursday night football game looks pretty promising. It's a matchup between the Pats and Bills. Pats have a great defense. Mac Jones looking to try to have a really solid outing. Bills are the Bills. I mean, Josh Allen trying to work through an elbow injury, but otherwise they look really solid. So, good game. I'll be tuning in. I'm assuming you will be tuning in as well. But problem is, pretty much every other primetime slot this year looks horrible. Here's a sampling of some of the Thursday night games. We just saw Browns, Steelers. Coming up, you're going to have Raiders, Rams. That doesn't sound good. I don't want to watch that game. You've got Jags, Jets in week 16. Cowboys, Titans could be pretty solid, but you look at some of your primetime games on for special holidays. You've got your Christmas Day games with Cardinals, Buccaneers. Not especially interested in watching that one.
Yeah, not really.
What was it? It was with Broncos, Packers? Or Packers-Rams?
There's a Packers-Rams game.
Packers-Rams.
Yeah. It's going to be garbage.
I was talking with Curtis about this earlier, and I was like, why does it feel like every year you'll have, like, every Thursday night game is horrible? Like, why does it feel like, you know,
you can't
sometimes
flex those
exactly
games.
That's what we ended up talking about. So you end up looking at Thursday games that are scheduled when you think they're going to be great, and you kind of remember when you see these matchups. I know everyone gets one, but you remember when you see these matchups what preseason expectations were.
But it's Thursday football. You get football on Thursday and Saturday and Sunday
which feels
and
like
Monday.
Free football.
Yeah, it does.
I know.
That's why it's not that good. Typically, if you're getting it for free, it's not the best quality. You know, they're able to give this out to the masses. So, yeah, free football on Thursday.
I mean, it ends up being okay. Like, Packers-Titans ended up being okay last week. You saw Jordan Love a little bit. But, I mean, like, some of them aren't even close or aren't even watchable. I didn't especially love Commanders-Bears.
First off, Stace, all football is watchable.
Colts-Broncos. You're telling me that in week five, Colts-Broncos – that went in that overtime game was watchable.
Yeah, it was.
I literally wondered if no one would win that game.
It's Denver, though. So, yeah, of course I'm watching that game. Of course.
Okay, fine. All right. Looking up at this schedule this weekend, I just mentioned this injury news, but we'll cycle back to it. Aaron Donald officially out for the Rams. The Rams really banged up in this one. They don't have Cooper Kupp, who's already on injury reserve. They may not have Matthew Stafford, who like may or may not come back this year, but remains in concussion protocol and is dealing with some other injuries. They don't have Allen Robinson. It feels like there is little to no excuse to not win a game against the Rams right now.
Yeah. Hawks are way more healthier than they are. Here's the thing. When I think about all these injuries, one, I think about the Seahawks taking advantage of an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But then, you know what I think about? The twos and the threes and the practice squad guys for the Rams. If you are a two or three-hour practice squad guy, man, take advantage of your opportunity. I hope the Hawks still get her done. But, yeah, somebody step up. Do something.
You know who would, like, ideally step up? The Bears. The better the Bears do and the worse the Broncos do, the higher the Broncos draft pick goes, the problem is that Aaron Rodgers is set to play this Sunday after there were some doubts. Yeah. He will play this Sunday against Chicago, who is a pretty banged up team.
And the Bears got a tough one. They got Green Bay, Philly, and then Buffalo.
Yeah.
Then they end the season with Detroit, winnable, and Minnesota. Yeah, not looking too good for the Bears as far as winning ball games.
No, I don't love it. I don't love it. All right. Well, the Chiefs are going to be short potentially a couple players. They have some offensive injuries here. Juju Smith-Schuster, who's been a huge part of their squad, is sick. I would expect him to play. I feel like most of the time, unless COVID, guys are going to try to play through an illness. Meanwhile, Kadarius Toney, who they traded for, is dealing with a hamstring injury. He did not practice today.
Kadarius Toney, Travis Kelce really likes Toney. Juju being sick, yeah, unless you are just, you can't get up and walk, both guys are going to try to play through it. And, you know, my mom used to tell me all the time, hey, just sweat it out. Go outside and play. Sweat it out. So, yeah, Juju, sweat that thing out.
All right, good news for the Steelers. Najee Harris did not suffer a major injury in Monday's game against the Colts. That from Ian Rappaport. His status still up in the air versus the Falcons, though. He's going to be reevaluated this week, but doesn't sound like he's going to be practicing anytime soon.
This is the time of the year, man. Like, guys are going to start dropping. It's, what, week 13? Or, yeah, week 13, 14, something like that. Guys are banged up. So, opportunity is all throughout this league. But I hope everyone, speedy recovery. Get back soon.
I saw someone said, have the Seahawks announced the date for the final game, Saturday or Sunday? I thought it was on the 8th no matter what.
No, it could potentially be on the 7th or 8th. In fact, no NFL games in week 18 have been announced yet in terms of what day they're going to fall on.
Okay.
They're kind of waiting to see what matchups are going to have the most at stake.
So that they
can flex some on
them.
Saturday, put some on that Sunday, yeah.
All right. Well, there's your answer. Brian Robinson Jr., who overcame multiple gunshot wounds during an August attempted robbery, it was a scary moment, started talking about how his season is coming together. Let's talk about how the Commanders' season is coming together. They have leapfrogged the Seahawks in the NFC playoff standings, currently holding a wild card spot. Doesn't look like any team in the East is going to take over for the Eagles, who are hanging on tight to the top seed in the conference. But the Commanders, a team to watch very closely as the Seahawks attempt to get into the postseason here.
And they have an opportunity to make a jump in the division. They play the Giants on the 4th and in a bye week. Then they play them again on the 18th, back-to-back. So you could damage what's going on there for the New York Giants. And after that, they have Frisco, Cleveland, and Dallas. They got to win these next two, maybe get a game against Cleveland, and then they're looking pretty good. That's 10 wins for the Commanders. Who would have thought?
Yeah. All right. Well, one of the most controversial stories earlier this offseason is finally going to resurface this year. Deshaun Watson is set to come back for the Browns. They are taking on the Houston Texans.
Who's taking on Houston Texans? I'm sorry.
Deshaun Watson and the Browns.
Oh, Deshaun Watson. This is
finally
the week.
Happening. This is the week.
Is
I thought it was
week.
Last week, but then they had a bye in there. I forgot.
This is the week. Are people going to boo? Are players going to talk to him?
Like, is he going to be able? Players are going to talk to him.
I mean, like, talk trash to him. Is he going to be able to mentally handle what's coming for him? Because we've kind of forgot about him for a little bit, and now he's back out there, man. So we'll see the mental toughness that our guy Deshaun Watson has.
I think you are absolutely without a doubt in my mind going to see people who attend the game purely to protest Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, there's going to be signs everywhere.
Everywhere. And well, and you know the NFL is going to be trying to get those signs. They're going to be like, you know, we don't condone any of this. Make sure the cameras pan to those signs. Make sure that we're all watching that. All right, we are keeping our eyes on the podium for Pete Carroll's Wednesday press conference set to join at 12:15. We'll be back with it. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we got eyes on, well, Curtis has eyes on the podium waiting for Pete Carroll to come up for his weekly press conference. Don't forget, tomorrow night you can join hosts Michael Bumpus and Paul Moyer at 7 p.m. at Bellevue Square Center Court for a live broadcast and preview of this Sunday Seahawks game. It's Hawks Live. Again, that's tomorrow, 7 p.m., Bellevue Square Center Court. And this week at Hawks Live, we're giving you a chance to win tickets to see the Seahawks host the Carolina Panthers. That is next Sunday back here at Lumen Field. You can learn more at seattlesports.com. Do you ever do Hawks Live and kind of wish that, like, me and Curtis were there with you?
I kind of am there in spirit.
In a way, because Bryn is there.
Yeah, my wife works.
The Rogers family is represented.
Yes. What about the Ross family?
Like me and Brian?
Sure. What's holding you back from sending a representative to support our guy,
Michael Bumpus? I have some, sometimes I have phone calls that I have
phone
to make.
Phone calls, huh?
Yeah, and I have, last week I had a meeting.
meeting at 7 p.m. at night? Between 7 and 9 p.m. at night?
I have such a busy day that sometimes those meetings, they just get pushed back.
I mean,
push back,
Stacey,
and push back,
what
and push back.
Each day.
No.
Here.
No, I mean, I'm pretty busy here. I do a lot of work. Earlier today, I put the Yule Log channel on for us. No one else did that. I did that. So.
Okay.
So to answer your question. Just chilling. No, I'm good, you know.
You can get your holiday shopping
done.
No,
you know what? I do see the Rogers because I see Brenna and then Rogers' mom and dad have been to like three of the shows.
Aww.
And then his sister. Yeah. And then Rogers' friends
come
join.
Like the Rogers extended family.
Nearby,
Rogers family and friends have showed up.
Yeah. They have shown up.
I mean.
Where's your mom? Where's
my
where's
mom?
Where's...
You know what? Let's actually move some of that blame to them off of me. Where is my mom?
Here,
you know what I mean? I've frequently said that. Where's Joe?
We get Stacey to show up. There's a Zara.
Oh, there is?
At Lincoln Square.
Oh, okay.
You know, go to Zara and then stop by, wave, and then you can be on your way.
They probably have so much more than the Zara that I normally go to. It's probably so much bigger in Bellevue.
Probably.
Yeah, I could pop in. I could pop in and support you. We are waiting to hear from Pete Carroll ahead of this one, and I keep harping on this one news story, but guys, it is a big deal that Aaron Donald is not going to be playing in this one. Bump, I know it's any given Sunday. The Rams are not a team with zero wins. They have gotten their wins. They have a talented roster. They have a good head coach, and they've gotten the better of the Seahawks more often than not during Sean McVay's tenure. All of that being said, the Seahawks are the healthier and better team in this one. You are running out of excuses to lose this game.
The last 2 weeks have been extremely disappointing. Go to Germany, lose 21-16 against Tom Brady. They run the ball all over you, something they don't do. Then you get your bye week, you come back, you got the Las Vegas Raiders, and you lose 40-34. They run the ball all over you. If the Hawks were to lose to the Los Angeles Rams, that would be the most devastating loss of the season. One, because they don't know who they want at running back. Daryl Henderson's gone. You're bringing back Cam. They don't have any receivers, really. I think Van Jefferson still there? I believe he's still there. But Cooper Kupp is gone. Allen Robinson is gone. Matthew Stafford's probably not going to play. Aaron Donald's not going to play. Like, this is set up for you. I don't even care. Don't even dominate. I would love for you to dominate, but just take care of a game that you're supposed to take care of. I know you're on the road. It's not going to be a hostile environment at all because that's not what happens at SoFi.
They can barely get fans out there. And I'm going to add on, well, I'm interrupting you with this injury update, but I want you to keep sounding off on it. Sean McVay also said that it's safe to say Matthew Stafford will not play.
Okay, come on.
I mean, we knew that might happen, but...
I mean, it's set up for the Seahawks to have a bounce back type of game, for us to see them do some things that we're not used to or we haven't seen in a while, right? Be better on third down, run the football efficiently, don't turn the football over, and just look like the better team that is healthier and ready to go, because that's exactly what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of the Rams, man. If the Hawks were to lose to the Rams already talk, right? They already be talking. If they were to lose to these guys, Jalen Ramsey is going to be popping off on Twitter.
Especially when the Rams know they have no business winning this game, which is like something I've never said in essentially since like 2018, that the Rams have no business winning this game because they've been such a talented roster. This year, it's just not their year.
It's not
their year. They're not healthy. They've lost guys. It's just not coming together for them. The defense, which was their strength, is not great. Their single best player is now on the injured reserve. So I guess I'm in this case saying Cooper Kupp on offense and not Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald, obviously phenomenal, but he's not playing in this game. And here's the deal. This is an opportunity, not just for your team to win, for the parts of your team that have struggled to improve. They have no run game. They have no run game.
No run game. Not a threat. Oh, I guess you're always a threat throwing the football. But, you know, you heard the saying, don't kick a man when he's down. Nah, kick these dudes when they're down, man. We need this. I mean, unfortunately, you dropped these last two games. If we just won one of these last two games between Vegas and Tampa, then I guess the sense of urgency wouldn't be as high.
Yeah.
But you're right. This determines a lot. You win this game, then your chance to make the playoffs jumps to, what, 82, I think is what you said?
80s.
Yeah, you're in the 80s. Let's go.
We're going to go to Pete Carroll speaking with reporters live right now.
Back on track and get going. And I know they need to win bad, too, so we'll be battling out down there. I like that we've been there once already this year, and we know what the trip's like. And being in a one-day trip for us, that's a good one to log away for us. It helps us a little bit. So we're getting cranked up. We got a lot of work to do. Okay, that's about it. We're out of here.
What's it like seeing that Bobby Wagner wearing number 45 over there?
Yeah, I like that he stayed within the 5'4 thing. You know, I've been watching him, catching him all year long. I love watching him. He's a great player and he's a great part of our program. And Bobby knows, he knows. We love competing against him. You know, it's just it's one of the things I've always cherished about him. People that you know really really well that you want to go against him and battle with him. And I know he'll be ready to go.
What is the quality that makes him so difficult as an opponent?
Oh, he's been so consistent for so long, and he's a terrific athlete at the spot, and excellent tackler, and then all the diagnostics and all that stuff. He's got it all, but it's his consistency that has been remarkable. That he's always there and he always battles, and it's the only way we've ever known him.
What have you missed, or what's different without him in the defense?
I've missed everything about him. There's no replacing him. He was a unique, one of a kind guy.
When you look at the Rams, there's been so many injuries on both sides of the ball. Why are they still a dangerous team?
They are because they're so well coached. Schematically, since Sean went there, they've done so many good things, and that's what I'm talking about to the team today, introducing the team to them, is how well coached they are, how smart they are, and how they look the same as they always look. And they've adjusted some things, as everybody does, but they do it well. And it's just when they're in those uniforms coming out of that locker room, those guys play good football. So
they basically just ruled out Matthew Stafford. So how does that change how you kind of look at their offense?
We don't know who's going to play. They got a couple guys that they can go with. We'll figure that out when they let us know. They have some dynamics with the different guys that they have available, and we'll have to see who it is. We have to prepare for both of them. So from John Wolford, you see the same offense basically. And he takes off and runs a little bit too, but he's basically the same offense as we saw him earlier.
They have ruled out Aaron Donald. What do they lose by not having him available?
That's a significant loss for them. He's a great player, commands so much attention and respect and all that. He's always been such a big factor. So it changes. I don't know how they're going to go about it, but it's different.
On the radio on Monday, talking about your run defense, you kind of suggested that you would be more committed to it, like get more DBs, I guess, as part of the fit. Like, what did you see that maybe suggested that?
I kind of said that. I was saying that's a way to, it's a way that you can adjust and do that, yeah. And the question is?
Was that just because of the numbers, or have you seen something schematically that you guys have been better when you dedicated more DBs? Like, what was the statistic?
Yeah, well, historically, that's one of the ways that you adjust the ratio in the run game. How you fit your safeties in. We've been doing that for years. And we do it now. We just may have to do a little bit more of it to slow things down.
We've got DK the ball 11, arguably 12 times in the game. It seems like there's been more quick game stuff to him this year. Is that just suit what Geno does, or is it?
It's both. But DK can do everything now. He's been around long enough. He's got the whole thing. He can do it all from inside and outside. We can put him on the move. He's equipped to run everything, so we just use him in that manner. Geno's really good. I mean, he knows, the two guys that he's got to go to, he and Tyler. He's doing it, and you can see the balance. Both those guys have a bunch of catches. But Geno's efficiency is what's really stood out this year, and that's part of taking what's available, and he's got to continue to do a good job of that.
Going back to the run defense thing again, what are the downsides, if any, to when you put a bunch of guys in the box like that?
The downsides is you expose your corners more. Basically, that's generally what everybody knows. When you do that, then your corners, are more in one-on-one, more one-on-one situations.
How's Ryan Neal doing?
He went through the walkthrough today. I think we're going to hold him out of practice, but he's much better than we had anticipated, you know, just coming off the field and all that. He's a tough dude. He says he's not missing, so we'll see if he can pull it off. But we'll rest him today and then take it day by day.
Games, how would you evaluate linebacker play for you guys just with that run defense?
They've been really active. You know, I think Cody might have played his best game last week in making plays and being right up in any, but he was active the week before also. They're so connected to the scheme, you know, they're doing fine. I like the way those guys are playing. We need to work together, there's some fits that they can do better and some things that they can help us on for sure. I like the way those guys are playing. The most aggressive they've been all year was in the last couple weeks.
It's been a strength for the Rams. What are you going up against with that run defense?
Now, this is a really good defense. I mean, this is a defense that just doesn't give you anything. You know, their runs and passes, they're leading the NFL in fewest explosions, you know. That's a huge accomplishment. And they have their own style, their own way of doing it. You know, they don't necessarily crowd you all around the line of scrimmage, but they know what they're doing. Their secondary is really, really well coached. They're really good at getting guys on the ground, tackle really well. They'll minimize your gains we're gonna have to work really hard run after catch and blocking downfield and making yards after we can get through the line of scrimmage with the running backs.
When you look at your running game the last couple of weeks, where has it fallen a little bit short for you guys in finding the success you had previously?
Yeah, we've had a lot of penetration on some run plays that have made us, you know, we've had some big littles, you know, where we're not making anything at all, get hit in the backfield a few times, which has not happened much. That's something that we have to clean up and make sure that we're taking advantage of the prep. Really disappointed that that's happened, you know, because we're better than that. And so we think we can get back on track there.
You hope to get Trey Brown a little bit more involved this week?
Yeah, we'd like to, yes.
What's he shown you so far, just more so in practice?
He's really spunky. He's really, you know, he's trying to make a great impression by the way he works. His habits have been on the practice field have been great. He's playing every snap like it's a game snap. And one, to prove it to himself, you know, first when he first returned. But he's trying to make a statement. He wants to get out there. He's competing.
On any given time during the game, how many people can you hear in the headset? Like, how many different coaches are you communicating with at any time?
Yeah, you know, Michael, for years I've had a lot of conversation going on, and I'm kind of, I'd say I'm equipped, let's say it that way, for handling the multiple conversations that occur, the input that can happen. I'm asking questions in the middle of stuff, and a couple different guys talking, you know, it doesn't bother me. There are coaches that can't stand that and they take the headsets off and it drives them crazy. I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum. I kind of like the more the better. And the bit that would sound like chaos to me, what doesn't to me, you know. So we've got the entire staff on both sides of the ball on the headset. Yes. Yeah. For the most part. Now, some of the guys turn off their voice because they're not called on to say a bunch of stuff, but their audio. But, there's a lot going on. You guys would like it. So you're fun to hear.
Sorry, you're hearing other conversations that coaches are having with themselves that you have to tune out. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Basically, there's a respect that we all pay to the caller in the time he has to make the call. When we all know we have to be, you know, respect his ability to make the call, verbalize and get it in, and then. But prior to when that happens and after that happens, then the conversations are available. I mean, I'm asking questions the whole time, you know, asking questions about stuff, you know, what the call what's the look, you know, they can see things better than I can. They can tell me is it a pressure look or a too deep look or whatever, you know, I get all that stuff. And more input, the better. Kind of like Raves, you know, it's kind of Raves operates too.
Laquan Treadwell played a little bit. Did you get enough of a fill at where he can fit in with things?
He did fill in fine. And hopefully it's his first game and he got a chance to go with us. Hopefully we'll play him more. He didn't do anything to keep us from thinking that. He looks like a good ball player. He's really comfortable with the game. He's got experience, you know, and we can feel that. And so it's a good addition for us. And I would expect him to be more involved in the next few weeks.
Did he have any experience in, like, your offense or similar systems?
I don't think directly. No, I don't think directly. I think he's been in other systems. But he's really smart. It's easy for him. He picked it up week one, you know. So he'll be way better as we progress, but he's on it. So no problems there.
You look at the Rams' offensive line. There's been a lot of injuries there, too. But what has been the challenge for your edge rushers and for those guys up front facing the last two opponents?
Yeah, we have to execute more consistently. It's an area of focus for us, and to make sure that we're getting good swings, you know, and we're taking our best shots and not wasting rushes. Sometimes you can get distracted, and there's elements that affect the rushers on the edge, you know, whether they're the tight ends there or the backs are there to chip you or whatever, that can affect you, and we have to make sure that we're getting our best rushes and maximize our opportunities there. So that's a big deal for us this week, and I'm hoping that'll show up.
Thing or is that a play call thing? Because you talked about
kind of a little bit of both. It depends. More of it's a feel and adapting to what you're getting at the line of scrimmage. You know what kind of help is a tackle getting for the outside guys, situation where the back is. There's all kinds of things that go into all that. The calls that we make.
It seems like you guys developed an identity specifically on defense from week 6 through 9. Really, really solid defense. When you see two teams kind of turn their season around, potentially their season around, with the Bucks and Raiders both doing really well against you guys, what do you want to tell them identity-wise? What do you want them talking about to reinforce
them? Tell our guys. What do we want to tell our guys, right? Yeah, no, we want to talk. We're not talking to the Bucks or the Raiders, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to get back to executing like we had been and working together more cleanly. I thought both teams, they played us well, and it looked like that. You know, I would like to have more of a factor on that. We didn't, but so we have to get back to doing the things that got us there, and so that's maximizing the shots that we take and how we counter rushes and all that, and also fitting correctly. But the games did look similar. They did look similar, and I really have a problem with that. You know, that it didn't change. You know, one week something happens, we should fix it the next week.
Jordan Brooks is leading the NFL in total tackles, I think leading Pro Bowl votes at his position. What have you seen from him last year to this year?
He continues to, you know, grow as the time goes by here, where he's really commanding the what we're doing on defense. He still has more growth. He's still got more experience to gain, but he's such a good football player. He's so well equipped. He's so fast, explosive, instinctive, all of those things. So it's really just more comfort with the scheme. So he's again more accurate with everything that he does. Because linebackers get in trouble when they get out of position, you know, and sometimes, you know, and he's such an aggressive player, you know, that he'll just get better as he's going, and he's running the show out there. He'll get better at that too, and feeling comfortable with commanding everything. As he does make all the calls, he'll command even more of what's going on in time to come.
This is the week players can wear the customized cleats. I know you've always been one to support players, you know, yeah, doing their thing. What do you like about this initiative?
I think it's an opportunity to tap our guys on the shoulder and remind them that they can give of themselves in some way. They can, by amplifying somebody else's voice and giving somebody else a chance or whatever they decide. I like the freedom of it and the creativity of it for the guys, you know, a chance to express themselves and do what they do. And I just think it's a cool idea. And in particular, you know, when you get somebody's word out, you know, for them or whatever, if you're representing a group or, you know, an effort that somebody, campaign that somebody's on, you know, you're doing good stuff. The more we can stay connected to that's available to us, and it's better. It's good, and our guys have always been great about it. But this is pretty specific, you know, shot at doing something. So I hope, you know, and encourage everybody to take part. Hope we will.
Quandre, Geno Smith, both after Sunday press conference, said that they're going to take it upon themselves to do better, practice better. Did you see anything different in how they went about their practice this week?
I can't tell you yet. We're just getting going. You know, we haven't been on the field yet, other than the walkthrough, but I know both those guys, I've talked to both those guys, they are determined to make sure that message is clear and they stand for that. They know that they're in the position that other guys are watching them and other guys are listening to them, and they want to make sure that their leadership is positive and obvious and effective. And so the best thing that they can do is go out there and make it hard on the guys across from them. That's what today is. You know, Comp Wednesday is all about competing and battling and making it hard for the guy across from you. And if you do that, then you're being a good teammate. And so I think those are clear-cut expressions that they know their responsibility, they know their leadership role, and I couldn't hope they would say anything more important, more specific than that.
Shelby Harris, Pete was hard on himself after the game. Was that warranted? What's he giving you?
No, he's a battler, man. He competes every shot he gets, run and pass. He's hard on himself. He's been around. Again, this is a really good illustration of our mental state. The guys are willing to be held accountable and let you know that they could do better. I mean, I'm hoping I'm the same way about it, you know, and I've got to do my stuff better. We're all trying to understand what it is to have that frame of mind and to share that, so it's easy for other guys also to be accountable for stuff. And it's pretty infectious usually, you know, and that's how we like it to be. So that's another great illustration, just to piggyback on Gino and Q.
You rotated Sidney with Mike Jack or Hardy with Mike Jack or even Trey in the last game. What effect has that had, if any, on Michael?
Well, it does have an effect. It's a competitive challenge, you know. And Mike has been really solid. He's had a terrific year, his first time starting. And he realizes that, you know, we keep pushing guys at him. That's not because of him. It's because it just happens to be guys that also would deserve a chance to compete. And we all know Trey Brown's story. He was starting when he got hurt. I would love to see him work his way back and see, can he take over? I don't know that yet. And I'm just as happy if Mike winds up getting all the rest of the plays because he can hold off Trey. That's great. But, it's the theme of the central theme of the program, you know, competing. And that's just what that is an illustration of. It's not any statement about Mike. It is a statement about Tariq. Tariq is really holding his spot, and he's done a great job. And so we're letting him, the guys that have had shots, compete with Michael.
You have to fill out how a guy may respond to something like that.
Yeah. And I'm concerned about that. What I want him to do is not like it. I want him to not accept it. I want him to challenge it, even if they have to. You know, that's okay properly, you know, and respectfully and all that. But and Mike is that way. Mike's exactly that way. He's kind of like bring him on, you know, kind of thing. He's got a great attitude about it. So, but I don't expect him to like it necessarily.
You said you don't like to rotate at that position. Why?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like offensive linemen. You know, you get a feel for them, and it's so tenuous, you know, the effect that they have. And you want a guy's mind to be right. That's part of it. And you want him to be confident and believe in himself, and you want to know if you like him out there, then you want to keep him out there, you know. But sometimes, you know, you can kind of, like we've created it at right guard, we've created an opportunity for guys to roll through there. It helps us. Both those guys are improving each week and challenged each week. And so if they have to play on the other side or whatever, you know, we're better equipped. The rotation makes us stronger, but it is a challenge to the individuals. And so we have to talk our way through it and work with them on it and regard highly how they feel about it. It can screw guys up if they're not balanced and confident and all that kind of stuff. So. That's a really good question, though.
That was Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll speaking with reporters. If you joined in progress, don't worry. I got a ton of notes for you, including injury updates coming up next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, a couple minutes ago, you just heard from the head coach, Pete Carroll, during his weekly press conference. We'll give you some cliff notes here. Let's start with injury updates. Good news on safety, Ryan Neal. He went down late in the game, was down on the field for a while. Looked like a scary injury. Turns out, though, it's better than the Seahawks feared. He's day-to-day and has a chance to play on Sunday.
We need you, Ryan. We need you. He is the guy who can walk inside the box, cause some havoc. He makes plays on the back end, open field tackler. He's been, when Jamal Adams went down, mm-hmm. everyone kind of held their breath, like, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Ryan Neal said, don't trip. I got you. And he's filled in and done a great job.
Doesn't it feel like Jamal Adams went down and was lost for the season like 4 years ago?
So long ago.
It feels, that Denver game feels yeah. like it was when I was in high school, which is only 4 years ago.
Only four.
It's good that Ryan Neal is there. You mentioned his ability to be a physical presence in the box, maybe, you know, help with some blitzing, because Pete Carroll talked on the Pete Carroll show earlier this week and also at today's press conference about the importance of, you know, trying to be better defending the run. He didn't give a lot of specifics. For good reason, also because a lot of it's probably X's and O's stuff that he has no interest getting into with us reporters and media folks, but he was asked, like, hey, what are the risks of, you know, kind of crowding the box? Like, what are the risks of making some of the adjustments that you'd like to see made, which is adding more DBs up front? And he said, well, I mean, there are risks inherent to a lot of things. One of them would be, like, maybe you expose your corners. I was going to throw the question your way because he didn't expound a ton, and he turned it into kind of a generic answer, which is fair. He just didn't want to offer specifics.
Right.
But when you play the way Pete Carroll would like to, he talked about just giving some help to stopping the run and rushing the passer. What are the what ways do you open yourself up?
Well, you're playing a three deep type look. That means your corners and one safety are going to be playing deep. You walk a safety into the box. You can blitz him. He can play the flats. You allow your linebackers just some help, honestly. And it's all about crowding the box. It's a numbers game, right? You want to have more people than they have. You want to bring one more than they can block, two more than they can block. So that's what you do. But when you do that, you do put some pressure on the back end. But I'm looking at the Rams this week, and I'm saying, if there's a time to do it, is now. Because I don't see any receiver over there that scares me. Tariq Woolen, I feel like, is capable now to follow a receiver. If there's somebody balling, you make 2-7, follow him. And Mike Jackson's been doing a great job as well. And then you got Quandre, who finally got the monkey off his back, and he has two picks. So I'm looking at this Rams team, and I'm saying, you do whatever you have to do to stop that run against this team. Because especially if Matthew Stafford is not playing, they're going to rely on a backup to throw that thing. Pressure them, interceptions, turn the ball over.
I have another tough question for you. Pete Carroll said, we have to get back to executing it like we had been. What does that mean?
It can mean a lot of things. Yeah. I'm going to speculate. It means that.
And he did that, I should add context, as like a wide open, like that applies to a lot of ways that they played ball. So everything. I should say it's a very wide open.
It's a broad
response.
Question, but I can tell you what I've seen. I see them not being as violent with their hands at the point of attack. I see the safeties not coming downhill, initiating contact on some plays, not all plays, right? I see teams guessing right when it's time for or when the Seahawks do decide to slant. So what a slant is on the defensive line, you're going to slant right, slant left, right? That means everybody on that line of scrimmage is slanting to the right. If I'm lined up with the center in a zero technique, I'm slanting to the right, right? So calling the teams have done a good job of guessing when the Hawks are going to slant and then running the opposite way. So now you have numbers. So little things like that, man, guessing right, being violent with your hands, and just wrapping up, man. There's a lot of times as of late I've seen some tackles I felt like should have gone down.
All right, it sounds like you're going to see more of Trey Brown this weekend. They'd like to get him out there a little more. He didn't play a ton, just a handful of snaps in relief of Michael Jackson in their game against the Raiders. But he is a former, was he a second rounder? He's one of three draft picks you had that year, and you want to make sure that you get the most out of him, right? And he's coming back from injury. You don't want to, Pete Carroll said this, they want to get more snaps for Trey Brown, so you will see him more, but they don't want to have a regular rotation at starting corner. So it's going to be one guy's job.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend
not having
a
rotation.
No.
Pete Carroll, not a fan of rotating at that spot.
No, you rotate at that D-line. That's where you can rotate. On the outside, the perimeter, linebacker spot, you want your guys to stay in there and get into a groove, man, to understand what they're seeing and what they're feeling. So, you know, we'll see some Trey Brown. I saw Trey Brown on special teams, and he actually made a couple plays on special teams. So I think he's number 22, right? Yeah, I believe he's number 22. I saw him out there. But, yeah, sprinkle him in. You want to see what he can do, but Mike Jackson's earned the right.
All right. You may see more defensive backs, maybe a safety helping out in the box as they look to shore up their defense against the run game. You might see Ryan Neal, whose injury is less severe than the team thought it was. He's still day-to-day. You may see more snaps from Trey Brown, who's working his way back. He'll be competing and swapping out with Michael Jackson, though Pete Carroll added he doesn't want just some regular rotation at that spot. So keep an eye on that corner spot. Sounds like maybe there's some more competition there. Finally, he was asked, unsurprisingly, about Bobby Wagner. Pete Carroll has always had nothing but praise to say about Bobby Wagner. He was a hugely important part of this team and a player that Pete Carroll clearly has a lot of really warm feelings for. I've never heard him say a bad thing. He was asked, what do you lose in moving on from Bobby Wagner? What do you miss about him? He says, we miss everything about him.
Everything. You miss leadership. You miss his mentality when it comes to approaching the game. You miss his playmaking ability. And honestly, even if the Hawks felt like it was time to move on from Bobby. Bobby's a player that they're never going to say anything bad about. Mm-hmm. Not even allude. Like we see.
Well, how, Bobby was like ride or die with the team.
Yeah,
too.
He was. And you see how they have alluded to some things with someone else who ain't here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that just shows you how tight their relationship was. And I want to say that them moving on from Bobby was harder than them moving on from Russell Wilson because the organization and Russell Wilson were butting heads, right?
Yep.
For a couple of years now. With Bobby, even if he felt like there was a disagreement or he wanted to do something else, they were doing it so cordially that you never felt there was any beef right there. It just came down to age and money and having a young guy ready to take the rounds with Jordan Brooks.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever got the impression the Seahawks wondered whether Bobby Wagner cared about this team, about the success of the team, and questioned Carroll's leadership. Like, I've never gotten the impression that Bobby Wagner was at odds with this team about the most important facets. Like, Bobby wanted to win.
Yeah.
You know, like he wanted people to care.
Bobby was bought in. 100%.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Mm-hmm. All right. So those are your cliff notes from Pete Carroll's press conference earlier today. We're going to switch gears, though. Get back to the Mariners. I had so many texts, Bump, that were flowing in on the Mac and Jack's text line when we were talking about this. So I want to get back to it. Not the most encouraging report on the Mariners free agency pursuits, but it spawns a question and a debate about how much the Mariners should be spending. That's coming up next.